Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to the Melchester Odyssey. Things are getting pretty serious in the world of Roy Race. I made a mistake last week. I should apologise. I pitched that this one was going to be that episode that we're all waiting for. I won't give away too many spoilers, but it's kind of not. It's still a few weeks away, but there is some very dramatic and violent developments coming up in this one. But it's not quite what we were expecting yet, so I apologise for that. It is the 14th of November 1981. It's one of those weeks where Roy featured on the front cover of Roy the Rovers, which was always give you an added frisson when it dropped onto the doormat. At the top of the front page, it says, "Sign, please, Liverpool, Sammy Lee." Now, I can't remember what the "Sign, please" feature was. Is it where a footballer commissions a sign to go in his garden or for his premises or what? Or is it an analysis of autographs? I don't know. But this week, it's Sammy Lee of Liverpool. Pint-sized Sammy Lee. 14th of November 1981. Roy is on the front cover with a great big smile on his face and he's signing autographs. Fans are all gathered around him with their autograph books.
I love the little text box on that they always have at the top, which explains, you know,
the story so far.
The whole thing in context, yeah. Which, when I was reading this to my son, if ever I attempted to read that at the beginning, he would go fucking ape shit.
What? What's the point? We already know what's happening.
Because you were just going from, you were reading a bunch of them in one go.
Yeah, but sometimes even. Yeah, but we might not have read it since the previous night, because we'd read it before bedtime. So I just go, let's have a little catch up.
Ah, it's a waste of time. Get straight into the story. Get on with it. Read. Always look forward, never backwards, father.
But what I like,
that's what you taught me.
What I like it says here is that although relegated to the second division, and I'm hoping the next line is, Roy couldn't give a flying fuck. And was just getting on with his life as normal. Fucking right. First division, second division, third division, makes no fucking odds. As long as the fucking paycheck lands at the end of every month, it makes no fucking difference to old Roy Race here.
Although relegated to the second division, Roy had never been happier. Yeah, this thing is, we're winning every week. Last season, we got relegated because we kept losing. This season, we're winning every week. It's fucking great.
Pressure's off. I mean, I'd love it if we could somehow win every game, but then not get promoted and somehow conspire to stay in this division.
We found our level. It's great. But it says, although relegated, they were unbeaten in the league despite off-the-field problems, and by God, there's a few of them, which were building up for Roy during a home match against Northfield. Fanatical troublemaker Trevor Brinsden was publicly humiliated by Roy, which, of course, we saw last week, and then thrown out of the stadium, allowing Rovers to storm on to yet another victory. And there we are. This is post-victory. Roy's there in the fantastic, modern, goalless-sponsored kit with the very, very tight shorts. There's a definition of, or perhaps even a vagina between his legs.
Have a look at that.
got to say one of them designer vaginas.
fucking camel's toe. It's all the rage.
I went over to Hungary. Got it done.
It's a little sad. It's a little sign to other people in my particular niche sex community that I'm involved in at the moment. Well, don't worry. I've still got my meat and two veg, but I tuck them up between my bum.
That's what I do. I tape them up because it makes me more aerodynamic when I'm playing.
Yeah. And I learnt it's all about the tiny margins, elite level sport. When I say elite level, second division, right? And I read in a journal of American sports science that a lot of the lads out there doing the, you know, the American football and basketball and all that nonsense, right? They find it better if they have force vaginas inserted into themselves. It just gives them the little edge. It might be half a second advantage over your opponent, right?
Who is letting
his genitals, his male genitals, hang out in a you know, think about it. Think about gravity, right? It allows about. So I'm trying to get all the lads into it, but some of them are Guthrie. Needless to say, he's being a bit reluctant about the whole thing.
I may have to drug and force them to do it, but we'll see. At the moment, it's voluntary.
Blackie misunderstood and actually had his penis removed, which was a real shame. You know, it wasn't necessary for him to do that, but you know what Blackie's like. He always wants to show full commitment to me out of loyalty.
He went and visited one of those illegal backstreet penis surgeons and got it done.
He's got a terrible infection ever since, but I still keep him in the first team because, you know, I feel I owe him that. But honestly, it is fucking disgusting down there. He's shown me it more times than I care to mention, and it is really horrible. Oozing all sorts of stuff.
Look, Roy, look what I did for you. I fucking defiled myself. Defiled my human male body for you, Roy. I lay my body on the line for you, Roy. I'm Roy, look, I've got a gift for you. Oh, fucking hell, what's this? I pickled it in a jar.
Me I put some member. Brine in. I put some brine in out of a tin of hot dogs.
And that's preserved forever. And you can stick that on your mantelpiece at home. And it'll be a constant reminder of old Blackie and how much you mean to him.
I'll right, keep the kiddies away from the fire as well, you know what I mean?
I'll be honest with you, Blackie. I appreciate, you know, your heart's in the right place, but Penn's never going to fucking stand for me having your pickled penis up on the fucking mantelpiece at home. No way. Imagine that when her mum comes round to visit. How are we going to explain that away?
He's signing some autographs there with the kids. They're all looking happy. One of them says, what a team! 8 wins in our first 8 league games! And someone else shouts, and Roy can still find time to sign a few autographs! Of course he fucking can. How's he not going to do that when he's a footballer? Never signed autographs. They always do it. Racy's the greatest! They all yell. Mm-hmm. Continued on colour pages inside. So there we are. That's just even the front cover. Nice. It's kind of one you'd cut out and put on your bedroom wall, I think.
Yeah.
Into the story itself. Roy of the Rovers continued from front cover. Roy is marching through a gang of assorted waiting pressmen. And they're called pressmen.
Pressmen.
Here are the pressmen. Where are the pressmen? Answer our questions. Tell us it.
Damn you, race. Charlie Pigface of the Evening's Telegraph here. Is it true, as has been reported, that you travelled to Hungary in the international off-season and had a female vagina inserted into your nether regions? I refer you to the statement that was published by the club earlier in the week regarding my genitals. I have no further comment to make on the matter.
One of them says, Roy, what's your reaction to the possibility of breaking the league record? And Roy says,
fuck,
not
mate.
A lot. Not a lot, mate. Fuck off.
I could not give two fucks.
It's fucking nailed on, son. Just fucking watch. Not a lot. Now, if you'll excuse me, lads. And they go, oh? But we have many more questions. What an anti-climax, one of them says. What an anti-climax. Roy seems to have forgotten the match already. And there, Roy is heading towards a strange man in a blue suit who appears to be carrying a briefcase. Now, if we remember from the last episode, the match finished and Roy looked up into the crowd and he saw this man in a blue suit who was waving a rolled-up newspaper.
Yeah.
And he said, there he is, waving a rolled-up newspaper. It's the signal that he's got the information that I wanted. And as we said, maybe a phone call would have sufficed.
Yeah.
But no, he's appeared in the crowd and given him this signal.
Very peculiar.
And now, Roy's about to get the information. And the journalists go, who's the chap waiting for him anyway? And that's it.
Who's that nonce?
Who's this mysterious individual Roy is in such an hurry to talk to? Ah, probably none of our business. We'll just fuck off.
Yeah. Racy, is that the fella who you bought the fatty off?
Is he the fatty merchant?
He looks a bit Hungarian.
Anyway, I was saying it's a private conversation, so we'll leave you in peace. And it says the chap was Eric Palmer, who is a private detective.
I wish that maybe they did do this, but I don't remember it, that Roy the Rovers, the comic as a whole, had done a spin-off like story that was a weekly story just about Eric Palmer.
Yeah.
And the
Eric Palmer, football detective.
Football detective, exactly. And the detective in he did. You know, it'd be great.
In and around the football world. We'll do that. Put it on the list.
No, there actually is a book that I am reading by one of the authors who writes the... I'm reading it with Len. And he writes the modern-day Roy Race reboots that we've talked about before. And he also does a series of books aimed at a similar audience that is about a child football detective, no lie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Excellent.
There's a series of them, and he basically, this kid, he's only 14, but he's really into detective novels, you know.
Mm.
And so he's driven to try and do a bit of detective in himself. It's called Foul Play, and the author's Tom Palmer. And and so it's quite convenient because he goes out at night. It's quite bad, actually. I've had to tell Len, look, the stuff the kid does in this book, you shouldn't do it. It's quite mental, right? Because the kid goes out at night because he's really into reading, you know, all the sort of classic, whether it's like, what's his name? Who wrote, you know, The Long Kiss Goodbye and all that stuff. Anyway, he's into reading all of these books. And so he decides he wants a detective. And the way he starts his detectiving career is he just goes out in the middle of the night when his parents are asleep. When it's in the cover of darkness, and he just fucking walks around the streets looking for people doing crimes, and then he just fucking follows them and takes photos and writes shit down in his notebook.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, this is not good.
Don't try it at home.
But the good thing is that he's obsessed with football, and whenever he goes out, it just seems that he always unearths some sort of crime going on in and around his favourite football club. Yeah.
That's lucky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I remember setting up a detective agency when I was a kid. I must have been about 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And used my dad's shed as the HQ.
Yeah.
But I didn't get any further than just putting a sign up.
I did it. Tidying
a bit of space in the shed for, like, to be able to sit down in.
I did it and I had a notebook. And what I did was I was on my BMX and I followed a van. But it was just a van. There was nothing suspicious beyond the fact that it was a van. But whenever you saw shit on TV, like the Red Hand Gang or something like that, any kid detectives, bad shit seemed to always go down in vans, right?
It happened in vans, didn't it? Yeah.
Kidnappers, thieves, all the rest of it, they were always in vans. So I saw the first van I saw, I thought, right, I'm on to you, cunts. And I followed them for about two streets on my BMX, or for as long as I could keep up. And in the end, they just got away and I grew bored. And I just jotted down some notes about the van, right?
Yeah,
and what I reckon they're up to, where I saw it and stuff like that. But that was as far as I got with my detectiving.
Mm. Yeah, it's the kind of thing you think is a good idea, but it's hard. There's a lot of legwork involved in detectiving, isn't there?
Sam Delaney, van detective. If you're driving a van in my area, or when I say my area, in my road or one of the two adjacent roads, then you better know that I'm going to be hot on your case.
For a very short period of time.
And then it'll be back to Dick Turpin.
Yeah, it's got to be done, though. So Eric Palmer, private detective. And Roy says to him, I saw your signal as we were coming off, Eric. You've got the information I wanted. Right here, Roy. And Roy looks in what can only be described as a dossier.
Oh, that he's been handed by Eric.
Oh, I love a dossier. That's a proper detective at work there. When you progress from the notebook to the actual dossier, that's when you've made the grade.
I love it if ever anyone has handed me, and it hasn't happened often in my life, I admit, like a brown cardboard folder, loose leaf folder, just with papers inside of it. And even more satisfying is if I've compiled such a thing myself. I might do it later. I'll pick a subject I'll do a dossier on it.
Go out and just follow some vans around for a bit on your Vespa.
Yeah.
And just, you know, make a dossier.
Well, I picked my Vespa up yesterday, thanks to Lurks, the YouTube Vespa
King. Yeah, did it go all right, did it?
Fucking hell, I felt. I've really felt so masculine. I was out the front early evening, lying down on the floor, underneath the Vespa, on top of the Vespa, unscrewing things in, creating at one point some dangerous electrical sparks as I just mismanaged the fitting of the new battery.
The positive and the negative.
Luckily, because I'm quite incompetent, the whole process took longer and required many more tools than it should have done. Way Lurgs does it, it's a fucking 2-minute job. But the way Delaney does it, it involved several trips back and forth to Halfords because I'd bought the wrong things, etc., etc. So, and by the end, I had quite a lot of dirt on my... I was wearing shorts, so I had dirt on my body. And it's out the front, so a lot of the other people in my street could see me doing it.
Having a good look.
Which is quite good, right? Because the sort of people who live down my road, a lot of them are more sort of foundry type workers than me.
Right, yeah, they work with their hands.
Yeah, and so sometimes I see them get up in the morning, go off in their vans or whatever, in their high-vis gear, and I think, they probably don't respect me because they can see that.
They probably regard you as some kind of fop.
Yes, exactly. So I'm the street fop. Right?
A harlequin figure, almost.
Look at him titting about home all day where we're out at the crack of dawn down
media
the
media concerns.
The foundry, and he's titting about out there, right? Right, takes the kids to school, then fucking goes back as a fucking cappuccino and does a fucking podcast, right? So I really liked it, because obviously I'm trying to be mates with everyone, but I'm concerned they regard me as the fop. So it was great being out front, making a real song and dance of it. And at the end, the feeling I had when I, like, fitted the battery, put all the stuff back in, and turned the key in the ignition and heard that engine turn over and purr. And I said, rather too loudly, oh, listen to her purr, right, to myself, but quite loudly. And I was behaving like a man who had just built a vehicle from scratch, right?
Or
that's
a robot.
What I acted like. Because you see it, that thing where you turn it on and the engine turns over, and I really I gave myself a really smug, satisfied nod, like, yeah, that's it, right? As if I was responsible for the functioning of this engine, whereas literally all I've done is change a battery.
Did you just gently stroke the seat or saddle or whatever it's called, and just go, that's my girl.
That's my girl. Listen to that. Purring like she was just born.
Purring like a little kitten Vespa.
Then we washed it. Me and Len washed it. And then I went for a few rides around the block on it, feeling so satisfied with myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But didn't see any vans, though.
Didn't see any vans, but I will take your advice and I will go out van hunting later on today.
Compile a dossier.
Give me something to do.
Of course.
While all the other real men are at work, I'll just be literally going round the block on a Vespa looking for vans, pretending to be a detective. I'm 45 years old and have nothing better to do with my day.
Jalapeño.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
The internet and emails and such like and PowerPoint presentations, they sort of did for the dossier, really, didn't they?
I know, it's
a physical
shame.
Object.
I would still...
Bring back the dossier.
If I was paying anyone, I would insist on a dossier. Like, you know, a solicitor. Say you're moving house, right?
Yeah.
And you've got a solicitor, and the solicitor tried to say, well, I'm sending over a PDF.
Yeah, I'll email it over to you, yeah.
No, you fucking won't, mate. I'm paying.
Cunt.
And I want a dossier. A what? A fucking dossier in a manila loosely folder. I want it to have pictures, archive files, microfiche, typed up documents, the lot. Fucking dossier, mate. A real good mix of content in there, please.
Yeah. I think we'll add the dossier to our list of things to be brought back alongside fingering and
microfiche.
Something else that I can't remember. Microfiche, yeah.
A lot of overlap there.
Definitely. So anyway, Eric Palmer's handed over the dossier and Roy has a look. He's got a very, very beatific smile on his face. A lot of satisfaction. Look at that. Look at his smile. And he says, and it's just what I expected. This proves my cousin Arnie Metcalf hasn't changed one bit.
He's
still
cunt.
An out-and-out villain. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Now fuck off. The check's in the fucking
post.
What's
he doing this for? What's this got to do with Roy? Arnie Metcalf's doings are none of his concern.
I know, it's just like, leave him alone.
You fucking Lampard.
Mm.
Fucking grass. So, we don't really know how or why Arnie is still a villain. I mean, we do. He's selling land that doesn't exist. But then Roy returns to the dressing room and there's Rovers' square-headed general manager, Ben Galloway.
Always turns up at times like this, doesn't he? Always turns up when there's fucking trouble.
When there's trouble, yeah. And sure enough, Roy, Inspector Goodall would like a word with you about Trevor Brinsden. Good grief, says Roy. Don't say he's still causing trouble. And then immediately we get Inspector Goodall. And there's a little flashback sequence there in a cloud. And he's saying, I wouldn't be surprised, Roy. My men dumped him well away from the stadium, as you asked. I want him dumped and well away from the stadium.
Fucking.
This is what I ask.
Put a pillowcase over the cunt's head. Drive him out somewhere fucking weird, right? Drop him off near a fucking roundabout 10 miles out of town. Then I want you to spin him round 8 times one way and 8 times the other, right? Then when he's dead dizzy, pull off the fucking bag and then jump in the car and whiz off. It's the only way to deal with these hooligans.
It's got to be 8 times each way, though. No more, no less.
Trust me.
I've done this before. So, I don't know if this is like standard policing back then, but that's what they've done. They've dumped him well away from the stadium. And then Inspector Goodall says, it's what Brinsden said as they drove away that's got me worried. And he says, Brinsden's gone, tell Race I'll get him for this. The Rovers are my life. He can't stop me from watching them. So he's issued a threat there, and the police have just done nothing about it. They've just driven off.
Yes, Mr. Race, we did what you asked. Brinsden did ask us to pass a message on to you. We've made a note of it here. He says, he will get you for this. The Rovers are his life, and you can't stop him from watching them. It made no sense to us. Does that make any sense to you? That's the usual old bollocks. Thanks, lads.
Now, when he says get him, does he mean get in touch? We're not sure.
Yeah. Listen, I think I know what he means, but that does not sound like the words of a man who's just been spun 8 times in both directions. Are you sure you did it? To the letter of my instructions, lads.
It sounds very lucid to me.
Listen, now listen, right? You know we're old pals from down at the lodge, right? I see. Listen, right? I've done you favours in the past, right? We've all done each other, and we all fucking seen each other doing some fucking, let's just say, some fucking weird shit at that lodge, right, over the years. You, Sergeant, in particular, right? So let's just say we don't want to let each other down. We all have an obligation to one another in this brotherhood that we have formed, right? So if I tell you spin some cunt 8 times both ways, you fucking do it.
I expect it to be done. So Roy's chatting away with Inspector Goodall, and Roy's in the shower. This is that one that we looked at last week briefly. His hair is all nice and flat and wet.
Yeah.
He looks incredibly macho.
Because the thing about Roy's hair usually is it really is blow-dried perfection, isn't it? It doesn't look like I just got out of the shower and let it dry naturally. Because
he's got a weird
centre parting, but it's not curtains because the fringe isn't long. And it's sort of bouffant. It's puffed up and really neatly parted down the middle. And this, to me, looks like a hairstyle that takes fucking hours to perfect every day.
Yeah.
Just a little side note there on Roy's hair. Because Roy's hair changes substantially over the years. I've got the 50s, over 60s the decades, and 70s those, albums too. And 50s and 60s is pretty standard, nice, kind of neat, short back and sides. 70s, it's very stylized, sort of a bob. That looks again like it's had the rollers on it because it sort of curls in at the bottom.
It's the hairstyle of a rocker.
Yeah, and it looks like he's properly had some curling tongs to it. But now in the 80s, it goes a step further. I don't know who he reminds me of, but he reminds me of someone.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Roy Race. It's unique.
Yeah. There is no other Roy Race.
It's just Roy Race. Listen, you know, no one else has got a hairstyle.
I don't have any fucking style icons. I'm my own style icon, right? This fucking haircut you won't see on any other cunt. And there'll be barbers up and down the old country with posters in the window saying, get the Roy Race, £5, right? Well, let me tell you that you're being ripped off because no cunt can recreate this style other than me.
I mean, Cliff Richard had a go, but...
My personal stylist, Bernard, right, who visits my home and does it privately and is sworn to secrecy. I know him from the lodge as well.
Well, this is it. I mean, Roy's having this chat with Inspector Goodall while he's in the shower. So there's a lot of familiarity there. This might be the kind of thing they do down at the lodge. Yeah. I don't know. And he's going... He's got a sponge. He's sponging his arm.
He's having a nice sponge.
Roy's sponging his own arm. Inspector Goodall's not sponging Roy's arm. Inspector Goodall's staying at a respectful distance with his arms folded, but it's still a very a comfortable conversation they're having.
Yeah.
And he says, so you think Brinsden is a dangerous fanatic, eh, Inspector?
He's sort of
maybe
saying
you could have done something about that.
With a chuckle as he's washing himself up. Dangerous fanatic, did you say? Yeah, sounds about right.
And then and then it gets more homoerotic than it's ever got before in this comic. And he says, I guess you want to give me a spot of police protection.
Cue Wah Wah guitar soundtrack and saxophone.
Can we get under the shower with me, Inspector?
Can you imagine Blackie watching this from the other
personal.
Side of the room?
Oh, God, yeah.
What the fuck? Well, that fucking Inspector poking his nose in.
I think that's Blackie next to him to the right, and Blackie's just facing the wall, seething. Because his hair's all down and all flat. I think that's Blackie.
Blackie.
He's just going...
Blackie. The inspector's here to see me now. Turn round and face the wall for a minute, will you, so I can have a chat with him. I don't want you fucking...
Blackie's crying
If you're going to cry, face the fucking wall and cry. I've told you that before. Because it's bad for
Roy's
team morale.
Roy's just doing this as a power play on Blackie.
Yeah.
And Blackie is crying his eyes out.
I can't believe you're doing this line under my nose. I had my cock cut off for you. And this is how you thank me.
If there's anyone that's going to give you personal protection, it'll be me, right? I'm so loyal, so devoted.
I'd die for you, right? You know that, don't you?
I'll shadow you night and day. I'll sleep by your bed in a little basket like a dog.
I'll listen to you breathing in your sleep. Get me a basket, Roy. Please get me a basket with a little pillow in it. God. Have my name on it.
Fantastic stuff. And Inspector Goodall says, just for a few days, Roy. A constable watching the house, that sort of thing. Roy's gone, Blackie's gone, is that all? Just a constable watching the house? What if he goes in around the back?
It's not good enough, can't you see?
Ah, dear me. But Roy couldn't be persuaded. He's not having it. He's not having the protection. He says, if it gets around, the police are protecting me from Trevor Brinsden, Inspector. It'll make him into some kind of hero with his pals. Whereas he's just a cheap little lout. And Goodall says, just as you like it, Roy. And Roy's driving through the mean streets of Melchester in the darkness. And he's thinking, but I rate me cousin a bigger danger than Trevor Brinsden to a lot of people. But I've got him where I want him now, as soon as I show him the contents of this file.
/dossier.
Yeah. But as Roy arrived outside the shop, which Meckiff had rented on the outskirts of Melchester, he says, darn it, the place is locked and empty. Of course it's locked and empty, it's a Saturday, it's like after 6 p.m. He's not going to be open for business. Yeah. He's not living in the fucking shop. Fuck's sake. Roy thinks to himself, darn it, the place is locked and empty, but at least I've got his private address now. Ooh.
Fuck him, Roy. It's like living. You're managing a football club, right? You're chasing promotion. You've got a wife and two kids, who, one of whom has seriously got a lot of difficulties in terms of mental health and learning, right? You've got also off-the-field problems with hooliganism and so forth. Why are you finding the time after a hard day's work to go and fucking pry into the business of your cousin, right? It just seems, maybe he's up to no good, maybe he isn't. But why don't you just get home to Penny and the kids, put your feet up and just fucking focus on your own life?
Yeah, get your Space Age telly on, watch Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking hell, unwind, you cunt.
She better fucking have recorded it as well, because she forgot last week. And apparently, Blackie told me it was one of the funniest fucking episodes ever, because Boss Up got himself locked in a cell, right? I mean, fuck knows how he's managed that, but, you know, that's the Duke Boys for you. Anyway, Blackie has fucking recounted the entire episode to me, blow by blow. It was so boring, but, you know, once the cunt starts, it's hard to get him to stop. And all because Penny forgot to... She still doesn't know how to work that fucking Betamax I brought home, right? It's not fucking rocket science. I've told her, read the fucking instructions.
Blackie's description went on for an hour and a half. The episode's only 45 fucking minutes. Apparently, Boss Hogg got locked in his own cell and a crow flew off with the keys and dropped them down a downpipe and they couldn't find them. And they only found them when there was a flood.
Meanwhile, the Dukes of Hazzard, you know, the lads, they just fucking made hay while he was locked up by just doing loads and loads of donuts in the police car park.
Jumping over ravines.
Yeah.
Said it were great.
Causing fucking chaos, they were.
Then, a sound from the distance. Ah, help me! Hello, he thinks. Someone in trouble by the sound of it. And it's the
fuck
sounds coming from an alley.
Fuck off. I'm fucking off home.
Maybe the inspector will turn up soon. Maybe he won't. Never mind.
Probably some fucking drug addict anyway. Who cares?
This is Roy Race. And he can't stop keeping his fucking beak out of stuff. The noise is coming from an alley. And he goes to investigate. He's thinking, funny, the alley's deserted. Better take a look down the far end in case someone's lying injured.
For example.
Yeah. Roy was well down the alley when the snarl of an engine rasped through the shadows. And it's a motorbike. And there's a dark figure on it in a black helmet. They're wearing blue jeans. The front of the motorbike is green. And they just say, that's far enough, Race.
Ooh.
Roy is backed up against the wall. You can see his shadow against the wall. He turns. He goes, what the? Obviously, you go, what the fuck? But they can't put that in a kid's comic. And through the helmet, from about 20 feet away, this figure says, now let's see your tricky feet get you out of this. And the front wheel, Sam, is off the ground, which suggests that they are approaching at speed towards Roy.
Fucking hell, wheeling at the cunt.
wheeling
what a terrifying thing, yeah. Someone to wheelie at you.
And
it's probably what's his name in it, Barry. Who was the famous motorcyclist of the eight?
Barry
the,
Sheen.
Fucking Barry Sheen stuff. This
Barry Sheen, of course, was 50% nuts and bolts by the time he died.
Yeah,
because he had so many parts of his body replaced. He's probably got an autobiography. That'd be good.
Yeah.
So Roy just looks stunned. He's frozen to the spot. And underneath it just says, I mean, this is probably the most chilling thing I'd ever read, I think, at the time. It just says, is it the end of Roy of the Rovers?
Whoa.
And we're like, what? What?
No,
the what? It can't end.
No.
How? No. Is it the end of Roy of the Rovers? See next week.
Well, all we'll say is, we don't want to give you spoilers, but there are some more, quite a few more pages left in this book. If he does die from being wheelied to death,
wheelie through the face,
possibly by Barry Sheen, right? Ah, you've wheelied me, you cunt. There's no coming back from this. It could be that the rest of it is just about things like the other chapters are just about Penny and probably Ben Galloway sorting out his affairs.
Bit of post-death admin,
there'll be a lot of admin because he probably hasn't had a chance to put his affairs in order because he was still a young man, didn't expect to die anytime soon. Blackie, as he'd been overheard in the feathers a week earlier, said, Blackie, I fully expect to live forever. That's the thing. People say, Racy, have you made your will? And I go, no point. I fully expect to be the first human in the history of the world to live
humans.
To live forever. I make you right, boy. If anyone can do it, it's you.
I believe in you, boy.
The thing is, Blackie, the thing about mortality is it's all about positive mindset.
It's all in your mind, isn't it?
Right. A lot of these cunts, I hear them, they're negative people. They're planning for death, making wills, right, expecting to die. Not me. I get up every morning thinking to I don't feel lucky to be alive because I know I'm going to be here forever.
I'm going to bring out an LP next year, which is full of mind tricks and games that you can do. It's going to be called Think Yourself Forever.
Maybe think yourself immortal. I haven't decided yet, right? But either way, I'm gonna reveal to people the secret of eternal life, just through thinking positive and not being a fucking moping bastard.
I mean, look at me. I've been playing football for 25 years at the top level. I haven't aged a day. Fucking magic.
I've just got more handsome, and that's all up here. See, thinking myself handsome.
Think yourself handsome. That's going to be the follow-up album. So there we are. Mark's at a 10 for that.
10.
That's a 10 for me.
10.
That's an absolute
mainly
10.
Mainly because it's got a private detective and a man doing a wheelie up a dark alley, which are two things I look for in literally any story.
And there's no football in it.
Yeah,
it's what even we want,
better.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So next week we'll find out what happens, whether he gets wheelied through the face or whether he goes on to live another day.
Yeah, really so getting it's really heating up now, dickheads.
Yeah, TTFN, dickheads.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.